Good afternoon, everyone. The time is now 4 p.m. I call the May 27th, 2021 council meeting to order. The following options are available to access this meeting. You may access or participate in the meeting using the Zoom application on a smart device or a PC via the web at zoom.us and clicking on join a meeting in the upper right hand of the page. The web ID number this evening is 978-8786-9794. Anyone wanting to participate via telephone only may call one of the following numbers. Non-toll-free numbers, while most mobile phone carriers do not place an extra charge on customers for toll calls, it is up to you to check with your carrier concerning potential charges you would be responsible for. The first number, and again, all this information is on our website. The first number this evening is 1-646-558-8656. The next number is 1-301-715-8592. The next number is 1-312-626-6799. The next number is 1-669-900-9128. The next number is 1-253-215-8782. The next number is 1-346-248-7799. Toll-free numbers from anywhere in the U.S., the first number you can try this evening is 1-877-853-5247. The next number is 1-888-788-0099. The next number is 1-833-548-0276. The next number is 1-833-548-0282. Please note if you're experiencing trouble connecting via the toll-free number, please try the next number on the list. You will then need to punch in the web ID, which again is 978-8786-9794 on the touchtone keypad. While everyone joining the meeting will be muted, if at the appropriate time during the proceedings you wish to ask a question, you may, if using a smartphone or a PC, click on raise hand icon. The meeting moderator will then ask the participant having raised their hand to be unmuted. After the question, answer, and any further discussion, the participant will be muted again and will need to click on raise hand icon or punch in star 9 to ask another question. If phoning in, punch star 9 on the touchtone keypad. The moderator will indicate when it is your turn to comment or ask a question. At this time, I'm going to ask the city clerk to please call the roll.
Mr. McAllister?
Here.
Mr. Foley?
Here.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Here.
Mr. Howe?
Here.
Mr. Lattiser?
Here.
Mr. McElroy?
Yeah.
Mr. Ricks?
Here.
Mr. Sinappi?
Here.
Ms. Travis?
Here.
9 present.
Thank you. At this time, I'm going to ask Ward 9 Councilman Vinny Gebhardt to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Mr. Howe?
Here.
Mr. Lattiser?
Here.
Mr. McElroy?
Yeah.
Mr. Ricks?
Here.
Mr. Sinappi?
Here.
Ms. Travis?
Here.
9 present.
Thank you. At this time, I'm going to ask Ward 9 Councilman Vinny Gebhardt to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
Here.
And to the republic which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Christ, 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 Christ
Thank you, Councilman. Okay, next up on the agenda is general communications. Is there any members of the council that have anything for general communications? Okay, Councilwoman Travis.
Yes, I just want to remind them on Monday, we're doing the wreath laying at the Veterans Memorial Park at near Veterans Middle School at 10 o'clock. And I'd like to see everybody there if possible. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilwoman. Anything else for general communications? Okay, seeing none, we will move on to first up on the agenda is PCR 75-21, resolution relative to transfers, supplemental appropriations, and emergency appropriations. So this is the budget that we are going to discuss at this time. First off, I just want to go a little procedural here. We have some amendments from the administration that we want to clear. They want to clear up a couple of numbers that were off on their original submission. We have them here to speak on these after we make the motion and get a second. It does not change the bottom line of the budget. So they're just moving things around, correcting a couple of mistakes. So we will move that. After we take that amendment up, we will open it up to members of the council. I'm going to ask that when you call on, you start with, I would like to make an amendment, and you talk about what the amendment is. So, you know, line item 444, I would like to change it X amount. Then we will pause. You will wait to get a second. Once you get a second, then you will explain why you would like to make that amendment discussion. Then we will vote on that amendment. Then we will go back to that person who has the floor. They will make the second amendment and just like that. So each time you will make the amendment first, you will get a second. Then we will, then the original sponsor will explain their reasoning for making that proposal. We will vote on each one individually. Then at the end, after every council person has had an opportunity to make amendments, we will take a pause, a recess. The administration will go crunch the numbers. They will get us the final, what that version of the tax rate will be. They will come back, they will let us know. We will again open it up and we will move on from there. So that is the plan this evening. But first off, we would like to, I'm gonna call on Chairman Howe to make the amendments on behalf of the administration. He will read the amendments first. We will get a second. Then we'll open it up for discussion, if we get a second, of course. Councilman Howe.
Thank you, Mr. President. Move favorable actions on the amendments.
Okay, if you could just read the amendments first, then we'll get a second, and then we'll do it.
Okay, I'm sorry, I did it backwards. Thank you. Okay, account number, item amendment number one is account number from account 43101, library salaries. The proposed budget is $2,034,743. The amendment is a reduction of $20,000 to the adjusted budget of $2,014,743, an adjustment of decrease of $20,000. Item number amendment number two is account number 43355, library special programs. Proposed budget was $23,000. The amendment is $20,000 to adjust the budget to $43,000, an increase of $20,000. Amendment proposed number three is six from account 16360, legislative professional services. The proposal was $218,544. The requested amendment is a reduction of $50,000 to $168,544. Amendment number four is account 34360 EMA professional services. The proposed budget was $50,000 The adjustment would be a reduction of $50,000 to the new budget of zero. Item number 535360, fire professional services. The proposed budget was $60,000. The reduction, proposed reduction of $60,000 to the adjusted budget of zero. Item number six is 35116, fire unused sick. The proposed budget was $32,272 to an amendment of increase of $280,000 to bring the budget to increase $280,000 to the new budget number of $312,272. And the final amendment number seven is account number 75162, fire healthcare. The proposed budget was $4,181,565 with an amendment of reduction of $120,000 to bring the new adjusted total to $4,061,565. That is the amendments proposed, Mr. President.
Thank you, Councilman. So we're going to bundle those into one motion. So do we have, he moved those as one as favorable. Do we have a second? Second by Councilman Foley, Councilman McElroy. Okay. Are there any discussions on the amendments put forward by the administration? We do have the administration here as well to answer any questions. Again, this is just to kind of clean up the balance. There is no change to the overall number of the budget. So as you see, they took $20,000 from one line item and put $20,000 into another line item. So the bottom line of the budget number is still $333,058,597. There has been no change to the overall budget line from these amendments.
Mr. President, this is the finance director. We felt that a number was read wrong on the EMA professional services. Could Mr. Howe read off those numbers again, Mr.?
With your permission, Mr. President?
Yep, go right ahead.
Thank you. That would be amendment number four, account number 3460, EMA professional services. The proposed budget was $50,000. The requested amendment was a reduction of $50,000 to bring the adjusted budget to zero for that account.
Yeah, I think
Councilman Howe, that started at $100,000.
Okay.
So it will be 50.
Okay, the number we have is 50,000. That was the document we were given.
Yeah.
So you're saying that that light item started at 100,000 and you're looking to same, right. Still looking to reduce it by 50,000, but the adjusted correct. Budget will now be 50,000.
Correct.
So my ask would be, would I need to just call it as it was announced, or do I have to request an amendment to the amendment? So I can just...
No, I think we just cleaned it up here.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So I'll read it now as it was requested by the administration. Amendment number four, 34360, that's the account, EMA professional services. So the proposed budget was 100,000. The requested amendment is a reduction of 50,000 for an adjusted budget of 50,000.
Correct. Councilman, I apologize for that typo.
Quite all right.
No problem. Do we have any, while we have the administration here, would you like to make any more comments on the proposed amendment before we open it up for questions?
Peter. Well, just running through them, you recall during the public hearing on the library, it was noted that the deputy director was over budgeted. It was based upon a previous year's salary. When the budget first came out, the council president noticed that we'd made a mistake in professional services for the city council budget. That's been corrected. The big one was fire unused sick. There'd been a number left out, and that's why we've increased it $280,000. And we've identified, the other three are resources that we've identified to make up the net differential, which was in fire health care. And we heard testimony about when the new recruits would be going on. Professional services, the chief indicated they no longer needed that money. And then the EMA professional services, that's really a reimbursable item. And they believe that $50,000 would be sufficient.
Thank you, Director. Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. So I suppose a point of concern there is if $100,000 was originally budgeted to the EMA, I'm not certain what sort of professional services the EMA was expected to receive, and if the difference between the $100,000 and $50,000 may make an impact this coming year.
Well, this amount, 95% of this amount will be reimbursed. What it is, we've had a consultant on board that has helped us with the FEMA reimbursements. That's to pay this consultant, but almost all of those costs are reimbursed by FEMA. The mayor spoke with the assistant chief yesterday. He was comfortable that this number was adequate for what they were going to have to do.
Thank you. And then similarly, I had, I suppose, the same concern as to line item 75-162, the $120,000 there. I'm not sure if anything has changed since the other night in terms of at that point, healthcare fire had been budgeted for $4,181,000. Well, $565, but basically that $4.18 million. And I'm not sure if anything has actually changed in terms of how much we would actually be expecting to spend on that line item in this coming fiscal year.
Well, the testimony that we had from the chief and the assistant chief related, first of all, the timing of people going into the fire academy. And we now believe that's going to be a little bit later than what we had estimated for purposes of proposing the budget. The second part of it is there will be people under 26 years old who will not take the health insurance. And that had not been, we'd be assuming that everyone was going to be a participant. And the third thing is we assumed a pretty high per unit cost for health insurance of around $20,000 a year, when in fact, with the younger workforce, a lot of those people will be unmarried and only be adopting a single plan. So we're comfortable in dealing with the fire department that we've budgeted sufficient funds to cover the health insurance for the new firefighters.
Thank you. I suppose that raises one last question, is if part of the logic in reducing the number for the fire department healthcare is that the new recruits may be coming on later. That may have an impact on the total overtime because as discussed the other night, the late arrival of, or perhaps not late arrival, maybe late is not the most precise word here, but the new recruits coming on 9 months into the fiscal year, that certainly has an impact relative to overtime, that if they were to come in earlier in the fiscal year, then overtime would not be quite as high. Are we concerned that the overtime, and for this I'm looking at, I suppose, line items 35110 and 35111, may, as a result of the later than expected arrival, increase from their current numbers?
I thought that the deputy chief was pretty comfortable with those numbers. He was the one that was doing most of the testimony on the timing of getting everyone on board, and he seemed comfortable with the overtime amount that he had budgeted, and they came up with that number.
I appreciate the explanation.
We came up with health insurance, and I think their testimony gave us some indication that on the health insurance part of it, the cost would not be as initially budgeted.
I appreciate the explanation. I do continue to have some concerns on those items, but I do appreciate the explanation, and I'll yield the floor.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. President. So my question on this particular item is on 43355, which is special programs, why is there a need to increase that by 20,000?
Councilman, you were the one that identified that the deputy chief position had been over budgeted. So we wanted to correct that. And the fact of the matter is we're concerned about maintenance of effort issues regarding to the library. So we did not want to reduce the total city appropriation to the library.
Peter, are you saying that we have a maintenance of effort requirement for the library as we do for the school department?
Absolutely.
Well, that's a new one on me. What other
They've been granting me.
What other departments?
1 year to the next.
What's that?
From 1 year to the next, you're required to have the same appropriation. There have been some, they have granted waivers because some libraries were not operating at all during the pandemic. But in general, the state law is 100% maintenance requirement.
Okay. And could you just review the fire professional services again, the reduction of 60,000?
I mean, this was something that the chief and the deputy chief communicated with us that they didn't need any longer. Linda, you have better recollection than me as the...
I can chime in. In that discussion, Councilman Lattiser, Assistant Chief Umbenauer indicated that those professional services were monies that were utilized to retain a firm to seek FEMA reimbursement during the pandemic. And obviously those services won't be required to the extent that they were, you know, going forward, given where we are with COVID. That was reimbursable as well, but there was a line item in the budget that in anticipation of having to utilize those services should the pandemics continue longer than what we had expected.
Were there any monies used in that line item in this current year?
At the time of the printing of the budget, it was $10,000.
And that was budgeted for the same 60,000?
Correct.
Okay, so the question to the council president, before we do any final votes on this, are we going to be allowed to ask questions of the finance director or anyone else for that matter?
Yeah, like we've been doing. Yeah, the mayor, the finance director, Mr. Kaiser, Lynn, they're available.
because I have other questions that don't necessarily pertain to these respective items, but they do pertain to this overall budget. So
yes, we're going amendment by amendment. So we have this move, this was seconded. So we'll move on this, then we will open it up and you can speak on whatever one you would like.
My questions, maybe I'm not making myself clear. My questions are more in the interest of being able to get a clearer understanding of where we are in the overall budget and what the projections are going forward in this new budget. So it's not necessarily about, you know, line item 23102. It's just it's general questions so I can get some answers to the things that I have in my mind. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, no, I understand. No, I was advised that we go amendment by amendment because we will vote on the end at a whole after all the amendments are done. So everyone will have an opportunity to speak on any topic in the budget. And then at the end, we have to vote as a whole. So you can also ask questions as a whole as it's shaped.
Okay, so once we go individual line item.
Mr. President, I'm sorry to interrupt. Lynn Project has something to add right here.
I have a question for your solicitor, which is unusual. In my time with this particular meeting, there's no Q&A session because the budget hearings are done.
Correct. He's talking about questions from council members to the administration.
We understand. Right, you want to ask additional questions on the whole entire budget.
I was just concerned you were getting into questions about line item by line item again.
No. I'm speaking about just questions that I have regarding the budget in general, as opposed to a particular line item. So as long as I know at the end of our review of each individual line item and proposed changes before we vote on the formal or the complete proposed budget, that I or any of my colleagues on the council we'll have an opportunity to ask general questions, which will help us in making our decisions on some of these line item ups or downs.
That's the same thing, Councilman. We presented the budget with all the directors here and you questioned it then. And the process now is amendments.
Mr. Conley, we'll have you weigh in here, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. So the process at this stage is that the council and each member of the council, as you indicated, Mr. President, will be allowed to make a motion to amend the budget. That motion requires a second in order to bring it to the floor. If there is no second to the motion, then it's not before the council and it's not subject to discussion. The process will proceed that way. At the conclusion of that process, if any counselor wants to make a statement as to why they're supporting the budget or why they're not supporting the budget for their final vote, they certainly have the ability to do that. But because the motion to pass the budget is on the floor. But that is the process for the council tonight. It's not a discursive hearing on the budget any longer. So for the sake of completeness and at the risk of being repetitive, the process before the council tonight is that each council have the opportunity to make a motion to amend. For a discussion of that motion to take place, it requires a second. That brings it before the floor. At the conclusion of the amendment process, as you pointed out, Mr. President, the council will be required to vote on the budget as a whole. At that time, each member of the council will have the opportunity to make whatever comments they have in support of the budget or against the budget or critical of sections of the budget, but At that time, each council will be required to vote for or against the budget as a whole. And that's how the hearing under the rules will proceed this evening. I hope that is responsive to the question.
Thank you. With that said, Mr. President, the questions I have on those particular items that Chairman Howe asked have been answered.
Thank you. Any other questions for members of the council who haven't got a chance to speak yet? Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. One last follow-up. This is actually a follow-up on a point that Councilman Lavisser raised. As to the maintenance of effort on the library, it's my understanding that because there is a new position that is being added, the deputy director position, let's see. In fact, let me make sure that I correctly have this in front of me. The 2021 revised budget was a total of $2,881,000 and change, and the proposed 2022 budget is $2,981,000 and change. It appears that the total budget, the proposed, is over 100, or rather is approximately $100,000 greater than the previous budget. So I believe that we would satisfy that maintenance of effort requirement in large part because of the addition of the new position. And this is to say that I am not opposed to the additional funding of the $23,000 more than was previously presented to us for the special programs budget. I think that the library could certainly put that to excellent use, but I wanted to make sure to have clarification on that point as to whether we on the council may have the ability to decide that where that $23,000 may go, whether we have that ability or whether, because this new position is being added, if we may not have that ability based on the interpretation of the maintenance of effort.
City Hall, you're muted.
The maintenance of effort problem could become a problem in 22, but the origins of that are actually 19 to 20, 20 to 21, where we've had to get a waiver with promises to fully fund the library.
Thank you. I do see that those years in 2019 and 2020, the actual numbers as listed in the packet, the 2019 actual is listed as $2,884,000 and change. 2020 actual is listed as $2,811,000 and change. So I can see how that drop off of the approximately $73,000 there, I can see how that could be an issue. However, the $23,000 would still be if dropped from the 2022 proposed budget of the $2,981,000 and change, would still leave us above the 2019 actual of the $2,884,000. So I suppose that I could see how there may be some complications there with the maintenance of effort. I'm not familiar with this specific waiver, but you know, I don't think that it's necessary for me to, you know, delve into that further at this time, because I would support the $23,000 additional into the special programs budget as recommended by the administration. So I think that that satisfies my questions. And I do intend to vote favorably on the omnibus set of those seven amendments as requested by the administration at this time, just mainly for the purpose of making sure that we have those various items cleaned up, not because I necessarily support each and every one of those particular changes necessarily as they are, but because I do think that the omnibus approach would be the cleanest way to proceed at this time.
Thank you, Councilman. Any additional questions? The clerk will call the roll on favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinappi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
Nine yes.
Thank you. The amendment passes. Okay, at this time, we're going to, I'm going to open it up to members of the council who would like to make amendments. Again, you will say the amendment first, how much up or down, and then we will wait to get you a second. Then we will go back to you and you will explain your thought process. And does the clerk have a question?
I do, sorry. Can you just make sure everybody repeats the line item twice just so that I get the right line item, please?
Will do.
Thank you.
We'll go nice and slow, yep.
Thank you. Well, not too slow.
All right, at this time, are there members of council that would like to make an amendment to the budget? Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. So my first amendment, and I would certainly allow any other council members to jump in before I go and make any second amendment, relates to line 75-196. That's 75-196. For reference, this is the this is the OPEB funding on page 52, specifically listed as OPEB trust funding, which is currently set at $250,000. My amendment would be to increase that line item by $750,000 to a total of $1 million.
Thank you, Councilman. Do we have a second to that motion?
I'll second it for discussion.
Second by Councilman Lattiser. Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. As we all know, OPEB is a critical issue that the city faces in the long term. And more, it's not even becoming so much of a long-term issue. Well, it remains certainly a long-term issue, but more and more, it's also becoming a short-term issue with the payments that the city is making for its post-employment healthcare benefits to retirees increasing every single year. Part of that is that, in general, our healthcare costs do tend to increase year over year. This year, this coming year, is a bit of an exception to that trend, but we all know that healthcare, generally speaking, is getting more expensive, not less. And we now have more retirees than active workers, and that ratio is also increasing. So, as we heard about the other night, our total healthcare costs that we are paying for retirees is well over $30 million per year, of which the total liability is growing by over $30 million per year, of which the city is paying as we go, which ends up paying about one third of that out of the operating budget, with the remainder, which is now approaching $400 million as an unfunded liability, growing by over $20 million per year. This year, as we know, this coming fiscal year, the city intends to hire new firefighters, which the new hires would be contributing to the OPEB trust. And I commend the administration for opening an OPEB trust fund. Certainly, I think that $250,000, as they had proposed, is a good step. It's a step in the right direction. It's unfortunately, whether it's $250,000 or $1 million, it's not near the amount that we need to be making to truly get serious about this. However, realistically, we are not able to put in an eight-figure amount of money into this line item. This is something that, in order to address this in the long term, we're going to have to take a multi-year approach. We're going to have to work with all interest holders here, find compromises, because as the actuaries have told us, we are, quote, beyond the point of no return. So if everything is left exactly as it is, and even if we were to have maximum tax increases every single year and put, and a maximum tax increase every single year, which would be devastating, and we were to take every single penny of that and put it into the OPEB funding year after year, we would still never catch up to the current unfunded liability. That's scary. That's scary stuff. And it's, I see it as essential. It's critical that we do what we can to make sure that we are honoring our contracts, our guarantees to our employees who are now retired. The city, whether we like it or not, has made these guarantees for lifetime health care. That is, the plans that the employees, the active employees, are being offered extend that same to the retirees up until the retiree turns 65. And this is, of course, I'm speaking in broad strokes here, because this is the budget hearing. This is not a meeting dedicated to this specific topic. But for those employees who have been guaranteed those benefits, it is a guarantee, a promise that the city made. And I want to make sure that we are doing what we can, that the city is honoring those commitments. While $250,000 is certainly a step in the right direction, and it's my understanding that that would be the amount that's needed to open this type of account, which we certainly now need, now that we are anticipating that we will have these new hires who will be contributing at 2% of their pay into these accounts per the fire contract that was passed a couple of years ago. I think that a contribution of $1 million will really make a statement. It is in itself far more significant toward starting to fund this problem than a contribution of $250,000. But more than just the raw amount, the reason that I propose, the main reason that I propose an amount of $1 million is to make a statement that we as a city council and as a city are serious about addressing this issue, making sure that we are honoring our commitments to the retirees, and that this is something where the city is going to step up and come to the table. And then in order to solve this problem, we are going to work in good faith with everyone involved here to make sure that the city is able to honor its commitments, come up with a plan. And the city, as we've heard from the actuaries, the city, if things are going down the same track as they are currently, we're not going to be able to do this alone. So making a statement that we're going to step up, and hopefully the other folks who have interest in this, we want them to step up as well. We're going to solve this problem. We're only going to solve it by working together. And so I think that this statement is a big first step towards that. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Ricks. On this amendment, Councilman Sinapi.
I just have both a suggestion and a question. For anyone who presents an amendment, if possible, please say where you expect the money to come from if you're increasing an item, because I, until that happens, I have no idea whether or not I can even consider supporting something. And in fact, if possible, the best thing in my mind, and this might not actually be a good idea, so feel free to take this how you will, would be to move to amend where you're getting the money from first, if possible, because then you can say, I want to amend this one to fund XYZ, because obviously if that doesn't work, you need to find something else in order to fund that. And then if the answer is simply, I want to raise taxes or whatever, fine, just, but you got to please tell us. So then through the council president to Councilman Ricks, where do you intend for the money to come from for the purposes of your amendment?
Yeah. Councilman Ricks.
Thank you, Council President. So, and this goes to a larger point as well. I had alluded to it a bit earlier in the hearings when I was discussing various other line items in the firefighters budget, when I had expressed that I feel that certain other line items are underfunded compared to what I think would we are more reasonably looking at. And to some of these items, as I had mentioned before, some items where I understand that as a policy, we do not fund on speculation, but when a couple of line items are adding up to close to or about $1 million for this current fiscal year, then I think that we can reasonably expect a similar number for the coming fiscal year as well. And as I've also expressed, I think that the budget, the projection for the firefighter overtime in the proposed budget is low. We have seen this before where the fire department routinely exceeds. I don't think that there's been a year that I've been on the city council that the fire department has not exceeded its overtime. This is not to say that that should be happening, but the fact of the matter is that when that budget is exceeded, the firefighters are going to get paid for the hours that they work. That's how it should be. The contract should be followed, the contract that we have in place. And so when we are going about budgeting, I think that it is helpful to recognize that we could budget firefighter overtime much lower, but that's not going to change the reality that the overtime is what it is, so to speak. There are some measures that can be taken and should be taken to address that. But at the end of the day, when that overtime is worked, it's going to cost what it's going
Councilman,
to cost.
Councilman, we just want to stay on track. So we just want to say, you know, if we're going to add a million here, which line items would you take? And then we can, you know, if yes. someone has questions on that. But that's what's before us at this time is the question that was asked was, where would the million come from?
Thank you. I'm sorry about that. I'll speed it along. So at the end of this, where I'm going with this is that necessarily to balance the budget. And for that matter, I would also suggest that the structural deficit currently proposed of 1.75 million is also quite high. What I am suggesting here is that it would be necessary to raise taxes to accomplish this.
Thank you. Councilman Sinapi, you still have the floor.
So just to be clear, because as the council president said, that was a long answer. The basis or the source would be simply raising taxes, right?
End of the day, yes. Mm-hmm. I would prefer to see the taxes raised rather than a structural deficit be widened, which would ultimately create a greater tax burden and put residents in a worse position in the future. My general thinking is that smaller tax increases over time are preferable to a shocking tax increase later on, or the issues that would come with putting the city in a position where we don't have money to fund essential programs.
Thank you. Councilman Sinapi?
All right, so then just as a general comment on the proposal, one of my main concerns is the fact that we have a revaluation year coming up, and last time that happened, people actually thought we raised taxes, even though we didn't, because they got hit so hard. And with the housing bubble being what it is, and unfortunately no sign, or maybe fortunately, depending on one's view, no sign of bursting, people are going to get hit potentially even harder than they did last time. And it's likely going to be the people that can least afford to be hit. Not to mention the sheer number of people that are relying on government support right now. And the pandemic, unfortunately, still around, although hopefully on its way out. I am uneasy about raising taxes if it's not absolutely necessary. But that's all.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. President. From a conceptual point of view, I don't necessarily disagree with Councilman Ricks's proposal, or necessarily disagree with his reasoning for increasing the OPEB contribution, if we're going to get down that road at all. The issues here are, what do you want to do? Do you want to just fund something today with some monies, or do you want to really deal with the problem? You want to really tackle and take on the real problem. And are you ready to do that? And the real problem here is the cost of the pensions, the cost of the healthcare, the cost of the prescription drug caps, the pensions, as was testified earlier, one-third, two-third contribution, two-thirds taxpayers, one-third employees. Healthcare, 17 to 20%. I don't know of any other company in the private sector that has such a low cost of contributions towards healthcare. Prescription drug cap, 600 cap on a single, and I think it's 300 on a single and 600 on a family.
Yeah, it was smoking pot. Okay.
That's not sustainable. Free healthcare to retirees is a huge event. We heard it testified to the other night. That's over $10 million. So if you really want, if you want to tackle the real issues, those are the issues that you need to tackle. Those are the issues that have got to come before this council, have got to engage in conversation. And that is the major issue that's facing us as a city. Whether anyone likes Mr. Cushman's projections or his numbers.
Councilman, we just got to keep it straight on the amendment itself.
This is on the amendment. The forecast that we heard regarding OPEB trust, regarding where we're going to be with the pensions, which is why we're talking about this OPEB trust, was projected out 10 years ago. And if you look at the projections 10 years ago and look at where they are today, they're pretty well spot on from what we were told 10 years ago. But yet 10 years ago, don't worry about it. Let somebody else take care of it. And I believe that Mayor Picozzi wants to tackle this issue with a contribution to the OPEB trust to begin, to at least begin to tackle the issue. I concur with Councilman Ricks in increasing this contribution to the OPEB trust right out of the gate. And I will, when it comes around to me, I will have a proposed amendment to fund that additional contribution. So I have to wait my turn. I believe I'm next up in line to put my amendments up before this honorable body. And at that time, I will propose a funding solution. I cannot support, however, a tax increase. I completely agree with Mayor Picozzi, and I think at least my colleagues that I've heard from, the taxpayers can't handle it. They can't handle a tax increase this year. So for that reason, I would not be able to support this in its current form because it's going to cause a tax increase. But as I said, Mr. President, when I'm allowed to make my amendments, I will propose a funding source through two amendments for increasing the OPEB trust contribution to $1 million. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Councilman. Councilwoman Travis.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. The real issue here is the people that are dealing with problems every day. I see it every day. The people that decide, my constituents anyway, are deciding if they're going to pay their mortgage or rent or the food on their tables, or how about the medicine that they need and they're shortcutting the medicine so they can make it last longer. I totally disagree with having tax raises at a time like this. Councilman Sinapi hit it too. I had down, the reval's gonna hit us on top of everything else. I have constituents that are not working. They never got called back to work. They're trying to find work. And some of them are city workers that haven't been called back. I can't believe we would be even thinking of raising the taxes. I wanna commend Mayor Picozzi and Peter Schaefer and Bruce and Lynn and all those people that worked on this budget. The mayor gave a great mission statement, short, sweet, told it how it is, put the cards on the table. Let's go forward, try to make the city better. And we got to work through it all together. But raising taxes, that's almost impossible. I would never support anything about raising taxes. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilwoman. Any other questions before we give Councilman Ricks the last word, and then we will vote on his amendment. Okay, Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. To briefly respond to Councilman Sinapi and Councilwoman Travis, I do not lightly suggest raising taxes. I suggest raising taxes as certainly a last resort, a necessity, because inflation goes up, the city's costs go up, we can't keep the city's not just the city's costs in terms of goods and commodities, but in terms of health care, in terms of employees who retire, and we have contractual obligations. It is just unsustainable to level fund indefinitely. And here we're looking at 2 years in a row of a proposed 0%. And that's not to mention that we can't level fund the schools in perpetuity either. I want to see the schools be funded so that they can offer additional programs. But to get back to more strictly on, well, in terms of taxes and the reval in particular, as I see it with the reval is going to be net neutral to the city. I think that all of us on the city council know it, but there's a lot of members of the public who don't know exactly how the reval works. And when last time around, a lot of people who are working class, who are retired, who have modest houses with modest valuations, those valuations went up significantly. And they were the ones who were really hurting because of that reval. Not because the city council raised taxes that year, but because
Councilman, we have the amendment has been moved and passed. We talked about it. We have your position.
Thank you. What I'll do is I'll withdraw my amendment, because I am curious in Councilman Lattiser's similar motion, which he intends to pay for in an alternative fashion. So I will withdraw my motion in order to hear his.
Okay. Do we need to make a vote or anything on that, Mr. Conley?
I'm sorry, I don't recall who made the second, but the second will also need to withdraw the second.
Councilman Lattiser?
Yes, sir, I made the second. I'll withdraw.
Okay. Councilman Ricks, you still have the floor if you'd like to make any other amendments at this time.
I yield. Thank you.
Okay. Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. President. So my first amendment would be line item 35-111, which is fire 2 overtime. I am looking to reduce that amount by $2 million. And once we get a second, hopefully get a second, I will explain why and where I would reappropriate it.
Okay, thank you. Do we have a second to Councilman Lattiser's motion? Second by Councilman Ricks. Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. President. So, I mean, we've had this conversation time and time again. We have, those of us that have been on the council for a fair amount of years, we have come to these budget hearings year after year after year and have repeatedly heard the same comments from the fire department regarding overtime. And that is, give us the people, give us the staff, and we will have a significant reduction in overtime. We will be able to keep our commitment to overtime, which back in 2016, I think it was, as an example, it was 800,000. And it didn't come in anywhere near that. I have seen where the fire department was provided with a full complement in 8 floaters. And that did not stop the out of control overtime. It just continued. So in 2016, there were 214 uniformed firefighters. The budget was 900,000. It came in at 1,369,615. And that at the time was, if not the full complement, a very near full complement. In 2017, there were 224 firefighters. The overtime was 940,000 budgeted. It came in at 1,218,000. In 2018, there were 216 firefighters. The budget was 500,000. It came in at 1,575,990. In 2019, there were 192. The budget was 1,200,000. It came in at 3,538,287. In 2020, there was 185. The budget was 3.9 and it came in at 4.8. And this year with 179 firefighters, the budget was 4.4 million and it came in at 5,739,000. So as I see it, no matter what we award or approve regarding staffing on the fire department, it doesn't make any difference. The overtime does not come down. The overtime doesn't even come in on budget, let alone under budget. And with that said, I'm proposing on reducing it to $2 million or by $2 million to bring it to, I believe it's 2.2 million. And if we look at your year 2018, 2019, particularly the 2018, because we had 216 firefighters at the time, it had a budget of an overtime of 1,575,000. So with a full staff of firefighters, with the proposed floaters that the department has requested, and the management that is responsible to maintain the budgets and to control the overtime costs with a full complement, that should be attainable. What I'm proposing to do with the $2 million is to send $750,000 to the OPEB line item of 75-196, which would increase the OPEB contribution to $1 million. That would fund the OPEB contribution with $1 million and would not raise taxes at all. With the 1.25 remaining dollars out of that amendment, I would propose to apply it to line item 100-03690, which is reducing the drawdown on the rainy day account. That's what that account is. And that's found on page 62 in our budget book.
Thank you, Councilman. Do you want to make it one motion, all of these in one motion? Because they all affect each other. It's up to you how you like to proceed on that.
Sure, because the end result is the first motion is going to affect or not affect the rest. So that's fine. So I would pile them into one motion. The motion is to reduce 35-111 by $2 million, move $750,000 in support of Mayor Picozzi's request to fund the OPEB. That would be line item 75196, bringing it to $1 million, and the remainder of $1.25 million going into line item 100-03690, which would reduce our drawdown on the drawdown balance from $5,876,468. It will reduce it by $1,250,000. That is my motion, Mr. President.
Okay, and that was moved and seconded by Councilman Ricks. Any questions on Councilman Lattiser's motions? Councilman Ricks.
Brief comment. I can support this.
Okay, thank you, very brief. Councilman Sinapi.
So one of my concerns is purposely under budgeting a line item seems like a sure way of having financial issues later in the year. I mean, especially you even had members of the public two days ago, thinking that some of the things we're doing were just budgetary theater. I mean, that's what this functionally is, because that money is going to have to come out inevitably when overtime is necessary. And it's going to come from some item, whether it be the rainy day fund or elsewhere. And it might actually end up being worse because it might come from someone department that needs it at the time, just because that's what's available. I don't know. What I do know is that at least with the budget as presented, there's a clear path rather than variables, maybes, and potential problems. And as far as the overtime itself, I mean, with the new firefighters coming in, it's set to go down. Granted, it'll be more towards the next fiscal year. If it doesn't, we'll have a conversation then.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Gephardt.
Thank you, Council President. While in spirit, I don't disagree with Councilman Lattiser's proposal that we need to rein in overtime spending. We did have the opportunity to have fairly extensive dialogue about, you know, what the levers on the reduction of that spending are. And, you know, the dwindling staffing being one of those key levers, other levers, you know, being the minimum staffing as contracted, one which can't be addressed today, and potential other, you know, policy changes that could be managed within the department. But we heard both from the chief and from the assistant chief that overtime, the overtime counter continues to run day in and day out every single day. Today, we just accumulated a bunch more overtime. Tomorrow, we're going to accumulate a bunch more overtime because we simply don't have currently the staffing to avoid it. It's disappointing that it's going to take until spring of next year to reach that full staffing level. But, you know, I think we need to look towards that. To just take a significant, almost half of the allocation for overtime, which I believe is calculated based on what's the staffing, how many people do we have, and then what do they earn if they work shifts that they're not otherwise scheduled for, with and knowing that we'll be in that position until the spring, so roughly you know, 2/3 or 3/4 of the fiscal year. And if you look at the overtime figure, it does appear to take that last quarter where we are fully staffed and account for it. You know, I specifically made the point that Councilman Sinapi raised to the chief that, you know, the process of budgeting and the process of managing a budget and the process of being the executive over a department is that is your job to hit your budget number. And we all understand that from time to time, there are extraordinary circumstances that may have a negative impact on that. And I think those, you know, should be discussed in all levels of government. But, you know, there's no magic wand here, unfortunately, as much as all of us would love for there to be. And so simply changing the budget number, I think all it will do is force a conversation a year from now where we look across the table and say, hey guys, why did you again exceed your budget by millions of dollars? And the response will be, you didn't give us a reasonable number based on the projections that we had at the time. So I fully agree that it needs to be a team effort to drive this down. But I do think we understand what the path is. I respect the history that's been presented, you know, by various testimony throughout this process that, you know, there have been other times when there has been full staffing and we haven't seen the same kind of reduction that we have. I don't believe the current chief presided over any of those times. I may be wrong on that. But, you know, I'm willing to go along with the plan of properly staffing the department and seeing the reduction. We know that on the other side of that, there's going to be added costs in salary and all the other fringe benefits that come with staffing those positions. So it's not a net, you know, it's not a net zero. You know, it's a shifting. But there are, you know, other benefits to having a properly staffed department in terms of safety and you know, retention and morale and all those sorts of things. So you know, I would just say that I'm not going to support this. I feel that it artificially is going to move money from here to there, but it's going to end up coming back out of the rainy day fund or some other place when we eventually exceed that. And I think the administration has carefully prepared a budget. They're prepared to execute on that budget starting in about a month. And I'd like to give the opportunity for them to do that. Thank you.